Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem of Avraham Goldreich, and today we're Masechus Rosh Hashanah Daf Ches, the first parak of Rosh Hashanim. This Masechta has been generously sponsored as a schus for Chaya Bas Esther. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah stated, Vechol B'Tishrei Rosh Hashanah Roshanim, on the first of Tishrei, is Rosh Hashanah for reckoning the years. The Gemara asks what law this is referring to, and a number of answers are given. Papa said it was for shtaros, for the dating of documents, which we had learned, and the Gemara clarifies that it's for dating documents according to the years of the non-Jewish king's reign. Rabbi Zera said that Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'Tekufa in relation to the seasons. Rashi explains that we calculate the solar and lunar seasons based on a starting point, which assumes the creation of the world began in Tishrei. This opinion goes according to Rabbi Eliezer, who said, B'Tishrei Nibra Olam, that the world was created in Tishrei. Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak said that the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'Din, for judgment, for it's written, Bereishis Hashanah Ba'ad Achris Hashanah. The eyes of Hashem are on it from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. This means Bereishis Hashanah Nidon Ma'yeh Basofa. From the beginning of the year, judgment is issued regarding what will occur at the end. Point number two, the Gemara continues and asks how we know that the Pasuk, Bereishis Hashanah Ba'ad Achris Hashanah, is referring to Tishrei. And answers, for it's written, Tiku B'chol Shofar B'chesel Yom Chagenu, blow Shofar at the moon's renewal, when the moon is covered on our festive day. Now, on which chag is the moon covered? You must say that this is Rosh Hashanah, for Rosh Hashanah is the only chag that falls at the beginning of the month when the moon is hidden from view. And it's written in the next pasuk, Ki Chok Yisrael Hu Mishpat Elokei Yaakov, because it's a statute for Israel, a judgment day unto the God of Yaakov. We therefore see that Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. The rabbis taught in a braisa that this pasuk is coming to teach Shein based in Shamala Nichnasin Ladin, Elim Ken Kichu based in Shamata Esel Chodesh, that the heavenly court above does not enter into judgment unless the court below has sanctified the moon. Rashi explains, Kichok Yisrael Hu, that when Yisrael has established the legal status of the month through Kiddush HaChodesh, then Mishpat L'Elokei Yaakov, Hashem begins his judgment of the world. And pointing me through the Mishnah and state that the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for Yovelos, the Yovel years. The Gemara asks how this can be, for the Rosh Hashanah for Yovel is on the 10th of Tishrei, which is Yom Kippur. As it's written regarding the onset of the Yovel year, B'Yom Kippurim Taviru Shofar, on Yom Kippur you shall sound the shofar. How can our Mishnah say that it begins on the 1st of Tishrei? The Gemara answers that the Tanna is Rabbi Shmuel ben Broka, for Osana Braisa. When the Pasuk states, V'kidash Mishnas HaChamishim Shana, and you shall sanctify the 50th year, what is it teaching? Do we not know that Yovel is the 50th year? The answer is that since in the previous Pasuk it stated, on Yom Kippur you shall sound the shofar, it could be thought that the year is only sanctified from Yom Kippur and on. The Torah therefore states, V'kidash Mishnas HaChamishim, you shall sanctify the 50th year. Melamed, Shemiskadesh as Meholachas Mitchilasa. This teaches that the year becomes sanctified from its beginning, meaning from the first of Tishrei. From the first of Tishrei, it was forbidden to work the land, and while slaves could not yet return to their homes, they were not enslaved to their masters. Rather, they would eat and drink and rejoice with crowns on their head. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Mishnah stated, Ve'echo b'tishrei Rosh Hashanah Roshanim. On the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for reckoning the years. The Gemara here asks what law this is referring to, and a number of answers are given. Rapapa said it was for shtaros, for the dating of documents. And the Gemara clarifies that it's for dating documents according to the years of the non-Jewish king's reign. Rabbi Zera said that Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'Tekufa in relation to the seasons. Rashi explains that we calculate the solar and lunar seasons based on a starting point, which assumes the creation of the world began in Tishrei. This opinion goes according to Rabbi Eliezer, who said, B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, that the world was created in Tishrei. Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak said that the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'Din, for judgment. For it's written, Mereishis Hashanah Ba'ad Achris Shana. The eyes of Hashem are on it from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. This means, Mereishis Hashanah Nidon Ma'yehe Basofa. From the beginning of the year, judgment is issued regarding what will occur at the end. Point number two, the Gemara continues and asks how we know that the Pasuk, Bereishis Hashanah Ba'ad Achris Shanah, is referring to Tishrei. And answers, for it's written, Tiku B'chol Shofar B'chesel Yom Chagenu, blow shofar at the moon's renewal, when the moon is covered on our festive day. Now, on which chag is the moon covered? You must say that this is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the only chag that falls at the beginning of the month when the moon is hidden from view. And it's written in the next Pasuk, Ki Chok Yisrael Hu Mishpat Elokei Yaakov, because it's a statute for Yisrael, a judgment day unto the God of Yaakov. We therefore see that Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. The rabbis taught in a braisa that this pasuk is coming to teach Shein based in Shalmalad Nichnasin Ladin Eliim Ken Kichu based in Shalmata Esel Chodesh, that the heavenly court above does not enter into judgment unless the court below has sanctified the moon. Rashi explains Ki Chok Yisrael Hu, that when Yisrael has established the legal status of the month through Kiddush HaChodesh, Then Mishpat Elokei Yaakov, Hashem begins his judgment of the world. And pointing me through the Mishnah and state that the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for Yovelos, the Yovel years. The Gemara asks how this can be. For the Rosh Hashanah for Yovel is on the 10th of Tishrei, which is Yom Kippur, as it's written regarding the onset of the Yovel year, B'Yom Kippurim Taviru Shofar, on Yom Kippur you shall sound the shofar. How can a Mishnah state that begins on the first of Tishrei? The Gemara answers that the Tanis Rabbi Shmuel ben Broka, for it was taught in Braisa, when the Pasuk states, B'Kidash Mishnasa Chamishim Shana, and you shall sanctify the 50th year, what is it teaching? Do we not know that Yovel is the 50th year? The answer is that since in the previous Pasuk it stated, on Yom Kippur you shall sound the shofar, it could be thought that the year is only sanctified from Yom Kippur and on. The Torah therefore states, V'kidash mishnasa chamishim, you shall sanctify the 50th year. Melamish miskadeshes v'holeches mitchilasa. This teaches that the year becomes sanctified from its beginning, meaning from the first of Tishrei. From the first of Tishrei it was forbidden to work the land, and while slaves could not yet return to their homes, they were not enslaved to their masters. Rather, they would eat and drink and rejoice with crowns on their head. Alright, so now we go to our Simur Daf Ches, and our standard simon is a challah. A challah. So here goes. This special challah served at the Rosh Hashanah meal, marking the seasons and day of judgment, was baked in the shape of a shofar in front of a covered moon, and was presented on a platter inscribed, Happy Start of Yovel Year, to liberated servants wearing crowns on their head. Once again, in slow motion. This special challah, challah, that must be more daf ches. This special challah served at the Rosh Hashanah meal, marking the seasons and day of judgment, which reminds us we have three different pshatim for what the meaning is, that the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for shanim, for years. It's either for shtaros, for tekufos, seasons, or for din. The makor that it's for din, for judgment, is from the pasuk, Mereishis Hashanah Badachu Shana. The eyes of Hashem are on it, meaning Eretz Yisrael, from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. This means, Mereishis Shana Nidon Mayeh Besofa. From the beginning of the year, judgment is issued regarding what will occur at the end. So, the special challah served at the Rosh Hashanah meal, marking the seasons and day of judgment, was baked in the shape of a shofar in front of a covered moon, which reminds us, the Gemara continues and asks how we know that the pasuk, Mereishis Hashanah Ba'adach Rishana, is referring to Tishrei and answers, for it's written, Tikkun B'chosh Shofar B'chesel Yom Chageinu, blow shofar at the moon's renewal when the moon is covered on our festive day. Now, on which chag is the moon covered? You must say that this is Rosh Hashanah, for Rosh Hashanah is the only chag that falls at the beginning of the month when the moon is hidden from view. And it's written in the next pasuk, Ki Chok Yisrael Hu Mishpat Elokei Yaakov, because it's a statute for Yisrael, a judgment day until the God of Yaakov. We therefore see that Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. So the special challah served at the Rosh Hashanah meal, marking the seasons and day of judgment, was baked in the shape of a shofar in front of a covered moon, and was presented on a platter inscribed, Happy Start of Yovel Year, to liberated servants wearing crowns on their head. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for Yovel, the Yovel years. The Gemara asks how this can be, for the Rosh Hashanah for Yovel is on the 10th of Tishrei, which is Yom Kippur. The Torah therefore states, V'kidash Mishnas HaChamishim, you shall sanctify the 50th year, Melamed, Shemizkadeshes V'holachis Mitchilaso. This teaches that the year becomes sanctified from its beginning, meaning from the first of Tishrei. From the first of Tishrei, it was forbidden to work the land, and while slaves could not yet return to their homes, they were not enslaved to their masters. Rather, they would eat and drink and rejoice with crowns on their head. So once again, the special challah served at the Rosh Hashanah meal, marking the seasons and day of judgment, was baked in the shape of a shofar in front of a covered moon, and was presented on a platter inscribed, Happy Start of Yovel Year, to liberated servants wearing crowns on their head. All right, now it's time for four blah back Chazara. Daf Dalet, so the Simur Daf Dalet is a door. So here goes. The door, that must be more than Daf Dalet, door. The door to enter the shul featured a huge slot for giving tzedakah to get into Olam Haba, which reminds us Rav Kahana objected to Rav Yitzchak's contention that Dar Yavish soured by the time of Ezra's journey, for it's written in a letter that he sent with Ezra to give the governors of Yehuda that the Jews should be given whatever animals as offerings and supplies they needed daily without fail. Rabbi Yitzchak answered that from this very passage we can see that he acted purely for selfish motives rather than the sake of heaven. For Dar Yavesh says, so they may offer pleasing offerings to God of heaven and pray for the lives of the king and his children. The Gemara questions if this is problematic, for it's taught in a brisa concerning one who says, I donate this el to tzedakah, so that my son shall live in this chus of the mitzvah, or that I should have a share in Olam Haba, harzet tzadik gamur. This person is a complete tzadik. So why should Dar Yavesh be considered self-serving? The Gemara answers that this is not a difficulty, kan b'Yisrael, kan b'Ovdei Kochavim here. The Braisa deals with the Jew, while here, in the case of Dar Yavesh, we're dealing with idolater. So the door to enter the shul featured a huge slot for giving tzedakah to get into Olam Haba,
and was made of alternating rows of wood and marble. Which reminds the Gemara brings three differences between how Shlomo HaMelech and Daryavesh built the temple with rows of wood between rows of marble, which demonstrate how Daryavesh had soured. So the door to enter the shul featured a huge slot for giving tzedakah to get into Olam Haba, and was made of alternating rows of wood and marble. Whereas the exit door next to it had a Yom Tov calendar posted on it, reminding members not to transgress the losaseh of Balta Acher. Which reminds the Mishnah that Nisan is also the Rosh Hashanah for the Regalim, and the Gemara explains the legal significance. Nafkamina le nodu le mekam alei b'balta acher. The Nafkamina relates to one who made a vow with respect to subjugating him to the losaseh of do not delay. One who voluntarily vowed to bring an offering is prohibited to delay fulfillment of his vow beyond a certain period. The Gemara brings a five-way machlokas regarding when one transgresses balta acher. Our Mishnah is like Rabbi Shimon, who holds shol shagam kesidron v'chagam matzos techila. The three chagim must pass in sequence with Pesach first. Daf hey, so the simmer daf hey is hey. So here goes. The children joyously jumping in the hay, hey, that must be one daf, hey. The children joyously jumping in the hay for the 7 days of Tashlumim for Shavuos, which reminds us, the Gemara asks where the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon derive that Shavuos has 7 days of Tashlumim, and answers that they derive it from the source presented in the Braisa taught by Rabbi Bar Shmuel, which taught, Amr Torah, Mene Yomim V'Kadesh Chodesh. The Torah said two things, count days and sanctify Rosh Chodesh, Mene Yomim V'Kadesh Atzeres, count days and sanctify Chag HaShavuos. This teaches, Ma Chodesh L'Menuyev, just at the beginning of the month, is sanctified for a period equal to one of the units by which it is counted, meaning a day, Af Atzeres L'Menuyev. So too Shavuos is sanctified for a period equal to one of the units by which it is counted, meaning a week. So the children joyously jumping in the hay for the 7 days of Tashlumim for Shavuos, watching the Balta Acher parade, featuring several chiyuvim such as Nadarim and Nadavos, as well as Pei Aleket and Tzedakah, which reminds us, a Brais on Dav Dalad Amud Alef listed several obligations that are subject to the prohibition of Balta Acher, such as Nadarim, Nadavos, Hekdeshos, Tzedakos, Maisos, Bechor, Pei Aleket, Shechel, and more. The Gemara here brings the source for each of these rulings. So the children joyously jumping in the hay for the 7 days of Tashlumim for Shavuos, watching the Balta Acher parade, featuring several chiyuvim such as Nadarim and Nadavos, as well as Pei Aleket and Tzedakah, were fascinated when one man noticed a blemish on his offering and transferred its kedusha to a substitute. Which reminds the Gemara what the Brice is referring to when it teaches that one is not chai for Balta Acher for delaying payment of chilufa of its substitute. And after the first explanation is rejected, Rav Shesha said, Kagon Sha'arvu Lav Shnei Regalim Behumam. We're dealing the case where two regalim passed, and then the original Olah Shlamim became blemished, whereupon he transferred his kedusha to another animal, and one more yantav passed. You might have thought, Hoyo Umikoch Kamakas, since the substitute comes by virtue of the first offering, is treated as a single offering that passed three regalim, and the owner should be chai for Balta Acher. The pasuk is coming to teach that he's not chayiv. Dav Vav, so the similar Dav Vav is a sword. So here goes. The wealthy sword swallower, sword? That must be more on Dav Vav. The wealthy sword swallower who gave out tzedakah immediately to the anim, lined up and watching him perform, which reminds us, we learned from Beficho that one is chai for Balta Acher on tzedakah, and he has to give it out immediately because the anim need it immediately without delay, and he shouldn't think that he's only chai after three regalim pass, like in the case of Karbanas. So the wealthy sword swallower who gave out tzedakah immediately to the anim, lined up and watching him perform, because he learned that one is chai for Balta Acher each and every day after the deadline, which reminds us, one is chai for Balta Acher for each and every day after the deadline passes. The Mir explains that since the mitzvah Balta Acher does not apply at night, since Karbanas cannot be offered at night, therefore the mitzvah is renewed each morning. So the wealthy sword swallower who gave out tzedakah immediately to the anim, lined up and watching him perform, because he learned that one is chai for Balta Acher each and every day after the deadline, realized his wife was feeling left out of Balta Acher, so he gave her a beautiful sword necklace to be Masamecher for the Chag. Which reminds us, Rabbi Zeir inquired if women are Chayiv in Balta Acher, perhaps since they're not Chayiv in Re'iyah, they're not Chayiv in Balta Acher, or perhaps since they are Chayiv in Simcha, they are Chayiv in Balta Acher. According to Abai, women are not Chayiv in Simcha, rather it's the husband who's Chayiv to be Masamecher.
Dav Zayin, so the Simcha Dav Zayin is a gun. So here goes. The gunslinger, that must be on Daf Zion, Clay Zion, gun. The gunslinger knocking out targets with suggestions for other Nisan, Rosh Hashanahs, which reminds us, the Gemara explains that the reason our time does not include months in the Mishnah is that he's discussing the ways in which the New Year is relevant to years, meaning to 12-month periods that have halachic significance. He's not discussing ways in which it's relevant to months. He did not include Iburim because he's only discussing beginnings. He's not discussing culminations, such as the end of a period when the court may proclaim a leap year, and he didn't include the separation of Shkalim, since the Braisa taught that if one brought the funds from the old year, he's fulfilled his chiyuv, and therefore the Tana could not state it
as an absolute rule, for this implies it would invalidate the Oshkan, and therefore he chose to omit this halacha entirely. So the gunslinger knocking out targets with suggestions for other Nisan Rosh Hashanahs, who was thrilled when it was determined after Purim that it was an Ebrew year, giving him a second Adar Avrant, which reminds me of a machlokes regarding until when can one add a leap year? Is it the entire month of Adar or only until Purim? The Gemara explains that the reason for limiting the adding of a leap year only until Purim is that since people learn the halachos 30 days before Pesach, the people might come to be lax in observing the prohibition against chametz. Rashi explains that people in the distant communities will have it fixed in their minds that Pesach is in 30 days and they'll not listen to the messengers that come who tell them that it's a month later. The Gemara explains the other time would respond that people know that declaring a leap year depends on calculations, and the reason for the delay was that the rabbis didn't finish their calculations until this time. So the gunslinger knocking out targets with suggestions for other Nisan Rosh Hashanahs, who was thrilled when it was determined after Purim that it was an Hebrew year, giving him a second Adar Avrant, shot up his lease in fury when he realized he signed it that it was for this year and expired the first of Nisan. Which reminds us that if one said that the period of the lease was for Lashana Zot this year, then even it was on the first of Adar when the lease was signed, Kevin Shigi Yom Echo Ben Nisan also Lashana. As soon as the first day of Nisan arrives, a year has been completed. The Gemara explains that even according to the one who holds Yom Echo B'Shana Chashuv Shana, one day of a year, is considered like an entire year, it's different here. Because a person doesn't bother to rent a house for less than 30 days. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron, wishing you a great day and great learning.